Good morning, everybody. Are we ready to worship?
Yes.
Oh, good. See, talking about alcohol last week has given you a new sense of enthusiasm. I said all week, I said I've never had so much response to a question as I did last week. For those who weren't here, other words for being drunk. So I hope that you haven't spent the whole week under the influence other than of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to continue thinking about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives as individuals, as church, and as community, looking for and exploring the purpose, the practice, and the power of prayer in Christ gathered church, and how we can pray for boldness when our nation and our world needs it most. I'm sure that the world's issues weigh heavy on our hearts as we look at what's going on around the world. So some verses from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the people with justice and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all peoples praise you. Amen. And so we will praise as we sing number 575. Rejoice, the Lord is King. As I was saying last week, one of the unique elements of church is that we pray weekly for our world, and that we would understand God's intentions for us as we come in praise and worship. So let's pray. Lord, we come to lift up our voices in praise. Our hearts for healing and our lives for wholeness. We come to celebrate your glory, to declare your worth, and to receive your Holy Spirit so that our lives may bear fruit for your praise. We come from the darkness to be filled with your light. We come as we are, that we would go in the power of your Spirit. Lord, how can we not praise you for what you have shown us in the coming of your Holy Spirit? In him you have revealed something of your authority over all things, your joy in your creation, and your desire to fill us with your love and power. Lord, we praise you for your greatness, which cannot be confined or restricted in any way. Father God, we praise you for the way that you've been present and active in our world from before the dawn of creation. Father, we thank you for the peace of this place where we can meet with you, where we can share with you, Lord, in the privacy of our hearts, but you know each one of us and even what's been going on in our lives this morning. Heavenly Father, from the very beginning, we have used our free will to please ourselves and not you, to live for our own ends and not yours, and to spoil our relationship with you and with each other. We confess that we've fallen short of living lives that bring you glory. There is no way that in our own strength we can put our world or our lives in order again. But Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can do all things through you. So Father, forgive us, cleanse us, fill us, and renew all things within us so that we can serve you. Lord, as we hear your word this morning, you are creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. And just as the early church gathered in unity to pray for courage in the face of threats, we lift our world to you today. Lord, we pray for our world, our global community, amidst uncertainty and division and hardship. We pray for our sisters and brothers in Christ, Lord, that they would have boldness. Lord, that your servants everywhere would be given the courage to speak your truth and your good news without fear, regardless of the cultural or social pressures that they may face. Lord, we pray for healing. We ask that you stretch out your hand to heal our broken world, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Lord, we pray for signs of hope. Let your miraculous power and love and grace be made evident in our communities, so that many may come to know the name of your holy servant, Jesus.
Lord, as I said, we cannot do any of this in our own strength. So, Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Give us a deep sense of your presence so that no matter what we face, we may continue to boldly declare your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we'll continue as we sing number 50, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord. This morning we're going to look at the Acts of the Apostles. I always like to call it the activities of the Apostles, the action of the Apostles. So if you want to turn to page 1096, which gives us the back end of chapter 4. And not long after Pentecost, which we know as a church we celebrated a few weeks ago, we see in Acts how the first Christian church was experiencing dramatic growth in the early days. Large numbers of people were coming to faith in the risen Jesus and joining the first Christian fellowship. The preaching of the gospel was producing fruit. Sinners were being saved. People were experiencing new life and new hope. I'm sure it must have been a source of great joy and encouragement to the leaders of that early church. Isn't that something we'd love to see in our own community, in our own churches? But, as always, there were frustrations too. Yes, indeed, even then. Because in our passage today, the church has just suffered a setback. Its ambitions for further growth seem to have just been frustrated as two of the church leaders, the Apostle John and Peter, have just been arrested by the Jewish religious authorities. They've been put in prison for preaching about Jesus, imprisoned for telling people that he had risen from the dead, locked up for inviting sinners to turn to Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. It's no surprise that John and Peter's preaching was not well received by the religious rulers in Jerusalem, because they were the same rulers who only weeks earlier had accused Jesus of blasphemy and condemned him to death. These Jewish leaders could not tolerate the message that the first Christians were proclaiming and commanded them to be silent. As we join the scene in chapter 4, verse 23 today, John and Peter have just been released from jail and return to their church fellowship, no doubt with the threats and the warnings of the authorities ringing in their ears. And so I'll ask Kathy if she will continue the adventure.
The reading is headed "The Believers Pray." On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the prophets plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had declared beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. May God bless this reading to us.
Kathy's thanking me for giving her a reading. It says, "Lift up your voice," when she's barely got one left. But it's great that God equips us at the time that we need it. And the early church here are praying one of the most dramatic prayers of the New Testament. When Peter and John return to the other followers, they don't pray for protection. They pray for courage. Just as God spoke through David and Jesus, we read, the believers wanted God to equip them with great boldness. Their prayer wasn't for relief. Their focus was on total faith and dependence on the sovereign power of God. How did God respond? We hear that the room shook. Well, I hope the room shakes today.
And he filled them again with the Holy Spirit, sending them out to speak the word of God boldly. And so as we all think about that in a moment, let's sing number 1183, Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. Let's pray. Father God, again, thank you for blessing us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that as we ponder on your word, that we will hear your voice and understand your will. Holy Spirit, I ask that you open our hearts and minds and you work on our hearts so that we understand and obey the truths that the Father has shared through his word, through Jesus, and the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. Amen. How often do we pray for boldness? Yeah, if I'm going to the dentist, if I'm going to... But boldness to proclaim the word of God, the boldness to witness to people that may not want to hear. At Bible study on Friday, as we reflected on Psalm 139, the hymn of David, we considered how different our church, our community, and our nation would be if We were as passionate as David in calling out to our Lord for God's justice in dealing with God's enemies. We also pondered how the psalm encourages us to respond to those who are hostile towards God and his people, and the choice that we have to love our enemies. For Jesus, it was a command. We should love our enemies. But do we always choose to? As I said just before we sang the last hymn, when Peter and John returned to the other followers, they didn't pray for protection, they prayed for courage. Just as God spoke through David and Jesus, the believers wanted God to equip them with greater boldness. Do we feel like we want to be bold this morning? No, not feeling it. Thank you for those of you that are responding. The authorities may not in this country yet have told us to be silent. Yet I would suggest that we've probably silenced ourselves by a lack of passion and prayer that we see in the example of the first Christian church. The command to be silent presented the first church with a great problem. They knew that God wanted them to keep telling the people the good news about Jesus. But the powers that be in Jerusalem were telling them to be silent, to keep quiet. How frustrating. God saying, go and make disciples of all the nations. And the authorities are saying, shut up. You're getting on our nerves. We will put you in prison. Or worse. What a challenge. What could the church do? The disciples were proclaiming good news and still the authorities wanted to silence them. So I want us to think about that first century church, that we would seek the Holy Spirit and learn to pray with and for boldness. Peter and John were in danger, not the first time. The religious leaders in Jerusalem opposing the gospel had warned them to cease their missionary efforts. And we see that, don't we, going on in our own world, in countries where the name of Jesus is not to be uttered in public, and certainly not to be preached, and churches currently are being shut down, burnt down, along with congregations. When the apostles reported it to the other believers, they immediately had a prayer meeting. And we kind of see that as quite exciting, that they praised God. And I know that when we start our praise, sometimes we don't always think, let's do praise and thanks. Let's just tell God what we need. Let's just get in there. I want this now. And we tell God how he does it. They begin by acknowledging, as we look at the reading on verse 24, by acknowledging God as the sovereign creator. They continued with the theme of God's revelation through his word as written down by David. And as we were looking at the psalm on Friday, we realized how David was praising and thanking God for who he was before he got down to the nitty-gritty of what it was that he actually wanted. And then they share their anguish concerning the threat concerning Jesus, the Messiah. And then they ask for boldness that they might continue the work. It's great, isn't it? I'm under threat. I've been imprisoned. I've come out. We've had a prayer meeting. Now I want to go out and do it all again. The results were dramatic. The house shook and the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the passage that follows the one we've just heard, we read that they boldly witnessed, enjoyed spiritual unity, and gave unselfishly to those who were in need. I've never felt a building shake at a prayer meeting. Not here, not anywhere. Anyone else? No, not yet. Not yet, let's say that. Not yet. But I have felt his presence at some prayer meetings and seen God's power at work in others, both in my own life and in the lives of others. What happens when we pray? There's the power to change
the Holy Spirit filling us as believers individually and as church. And what does God's power look like? As we read our passage, it gives us so many reasons to pray. When we pray sincerely, praising God and seeing his glory, great things happen. Prayer must always come from the heart, aided by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so I think that's why today's passage is so relevant for us here as a church, because we see that the way that the answer came, as we look at verse 31. We see the parallels here with what happened at Pentecost. Here they just prayed. If we went back to Acts chapter 1 and just before, they had been praying. Here it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, look what happens when you pray. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. Here, God shakes the building to demonstrate his power. Back at Pentecost, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind. Now, I don't mind which we get. Mighty wind, earth shaking. Are we insured at the moment, Nigel? Or flames of fire. Let's go for the whole package. They speak the word of God with boldness. They begin to speak in other tongues the great things of God. Pentecost was the first great outpouring of the Spirit on the church. And here we find, a few chapters later, another one. In both, God gives physical demonstrations of his power. In both, he gives the fullness of his Holy Spirit. In both, he releases open and bold speaking. The blessing of Pentecost, an outpouring of the Spirit to empower the church for witness, would happen in different ways and different measures throughout the Acts of the Apostles as we read them, and will continue through the rest of church history, because that's where we are. We are part of church history. The prayer is relevant today because the answer that came, the outpouring of the Spirit, is exactly what is desperately needed in our church, in our country and beyond, because of the challenges that face us. And if we don't feel challenged, then we're not doing something right. Even the best of churches notice that the people on whom the blessing come were not disobedient or faithless. Some of them, like Peter and John, had just been spectacularly obedient. We read in verse 8 that Peter had been filled with the Holy Spirit when he stood up to speak in the courtroom. Now he and the other praying saints are filled again in this extraordinary way. Even if we love many things about our church here and we think that God's blessing is on us, as I do, we still need to keep praying and keep asking for courage and boldness. Not because our church is bad, but because the need and the hardness of the world is so great. So as we look at verse 23 and who's praying, Luke doesn't say that they went to the other apostles. He said they went to their friends, literally their own, the other followers. It's the same word that's used in John chapter 1. Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. It simply means family, friends, close ones, associates. So it wasn't prayed by someone with special rights and privileges, but by believers, Christians, as they later become called in Acts chapter 11. It is the church gathered that pray for God to give boldness and to heal and to do signs and wonders. Isn't it great that people like us, just simple people like you and me, empowered and emboldened to pray in that way? And as we look at when it was prayed, following the threats of the religious leaders, we read from verse 23 that they'd been released from custody. told the other believers specifically what the chief priests and the elders had said. Verse 29 enlightens us to what this was. The believers pray, "Now, Lord, look upon their threats." In other words, Peter and John have told them about the threats and they've mentioned them in the previous verses. "Do not speak or teach in the name of Jesus." And then there comes a few more threats after that. When we think about Jesus' command to his disciples and to us to go and preach and teach and spread the word of God through all nations, barely weeks after that command is given, there's already extraordinary obstacles in the way of the spread of the gospel in Jesus' name. That's why the church is so urgent in its prayer. They don't assume that they can keep on and advance in the ministry that they've been called to without a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They turned, as we say, their despair to prayer, and they didn't run away to their comfort zones. And we face obstacles too. Persecution of Christians is a way of life in so many countries. We hear, for those of us that support Open Doors, we'll hear in a few weeks from Release International. Brother Andrew, who founded Open Doors, says, "Our prayers can go where we cannot." When you read the letters from people or articles from people in these other countries, they say we can stand strong because we know that we're being prayed for. And I think that's such a great encouragement for us to pray, but also for them to know that they're being prayed for. Open Doors are currently running a program that you can pray as they play, because the World Cup kicked off on Thursday, in case you hadn't noticed. They have produced 14 cards featuring teams involved in the tournament that are also on the Open Doors World Watch List. Countries like Mexico, who played the other day, Iraq, Tunisia, some of the countries that we perhaps wouldn't even think about where Christians are being persecuted. As the teams compete, we're encouraged to pray using the cards, because they've got things that we can pray for. And the opportunity to pray for change in those countries, for fairness, and for victories for Christians from those countries. In the Western world, persecution is increasing and freedoms are narrowing as the secular voice gains momentum, because it feels more and more threatened by the message of love and peace, that there is only one way to God and his way is the only way to live. But even short of persecution, the obstacles we face making Christ known are great, as we've said before. But have any of us been told not to speak the good news that is within us? No? Some of the people may not be the most forthcoming. But all that is stopping us is us. If the early Christians, with their first-hand experience of the risen Christ and their immediate access and eyewitness, needed to pray and seek a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we too need to do the same. As we think about as they prayed to God, it's extraordinary that it takes them 5 verses to tell God who he is and 2 verses to say what they actually want from him. And again, as I say, when we looked at the psalm on Friday, praise and thanks first of who God is to us as individuals. Now you're sitting there thinking, well, why does God need to be told who he is? God knows, doesn't he? He loves to hear our thanks and our praise for all that he has done and created, all that he's done in our lives, all that he has done through Jesus and the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Because we need to remember who he is. It's not that God needs to remember, we do. Because as I say, often when we pray, we just think, okay, God, I need this, need it now, I'm going out, hurry up. When we stop and remember who God is and thank him for that, it gives us that encouragement and enthusiasm to pray. It's only that then that we can actually pray and bless God before we say, thy kingdom come. And they identify God in two ways. They appeal to him in verse 24 as the creator of all things. And then they say that God is the one who is ruler of all, including those who would do evil. And they pray in expectation. Their prayer is actually a quote from Psalm 2. And then by showing that the psalm was fulfilled in the way that God was in control when evil men killed Jesus. And that's why we have to remember that we have to read our Bible. We have to know what has happened in the past and what's happened in our past, because it affects our present and our future. If we can give thanks for the times that God has been with us, and we know that God has been with us through everything, we can face the future with courage and encouragement. All of this in those few short verses, which is a prayer. And then comes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, knowing God as creator and sovereign through the Lord Jesus and Scripture. Those things were essential. And then we think of what was asked. Now, Lord, look upon these threats. That's their first request. They have commanded us not to speak of your son's name anymore. Nothing is of greater interest to you than the honour of your son. That's why God needs to help those early disciples. This is what we need so that we don't give in to their threats in verse 29 and 30. They ask for three things: that God would give them boldness, that he would stretch out his hand to heal people, and that he would cause signs and wonders to happen. All this through the name of Jesus. In other words, it is their desire to be empowered in such a way that the name of Jesus will be justified. And it's relevant to us because it shows us how we should be seeking the power of God's Spirit. We should be praying for it like they were. And remember that Jesus often told his disciples not to lose heart, but to keep seeking and knocking and asking for the Father, for the Holy Spirit. And that means praying not only in general ways for the outpouring, but in specific ways for the gift of bold proclamation. That God would heal the nations, isn't that on our hearts as we sit here this morning? Heal those that are perhaps close to us. And that in everything that God does, that his son's name be honoured and vindicated through signs and wonders, which are such helpful witnesses to God's grace. If that is what we too want, then that's the way that we too should pray. That we would pray for Holy Spirit power to come as fire as they did on the first disciples, gave them voice before the rulers of the world. And so I wonder if perhaps we can bring to mind the name of one person to whom the Holy Spirit could send us to this week, that we may share the words and action that come from his fire and witness to the reality of Jesus Christ, as we say, come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, you are the creator of heavens and the earth and everything in them. Nothing happens outside of your power and will. Lord, you see the challenges, the difficulties, and the opposition that we may face today. We do not ask for an easy path, but we ask for courage. Look upon those threats around us and grant us the grace to speak your truth with complete confidence. Stretch out your hand to bring healing, hope, and light into the dark situations around us and your world. Help us to boldly speak the gospel and live for your kingdom. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit so that no matter the cost, we may continue to be your faithful witnesses. We offer our hearts and minds and lives to Christ who transforms us. We pray for the power of the Spirit to go on working through us and to give us the joy of seeing others' lives made new. Amen. Not only do we need the Holy Spirit, but we also need a new and fresh vision. So let's sing number 51, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Let's pray. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen.